Hello, Juno. This is Juno Afternoon. I'm your Monday host, Joan Pardes. Today, we'll be talking with Sarah Bowman and Nat Heck about this Saturday's Saga Day of Play. We'll also get a preview of Sunday's concert by Ladysmith Black Mambazo, a fantastic group. We'll also highlight Friday's performance by the Juno Wind Ensemble, and Joe Carson will be here with a preview of his Wednesday night reading of old and new stories. That, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more today, right now. Listen up.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. According to a new report from the New Mexico Department of Health, childhood obesity is occurring at younger ages. Rates for Native Americans are higher than their white and Hispanic counterparts. KUNM's poverty and public health reporter Tristan Autone has more.
According to the 2012 Childhood Obesity Update, nearly 15% of kindergarten students and 22% of third graders are obese. It's the third year data has been collected, and New Mexico's numbers appear to be leveling off, which is consistent with national trends. Rita Condon works with the Healthy Kids Program at the New Mexico Department of Health. She says there's significantly more Native American children experiencing childhood obesity than any other racial or ethnic group.
Basically, 30% of American Indian third grade students were obese, compared to almost 23% of Hispanic students and 15% of white non-Hispanic third grade students. And in third grade, 1 in 2 American Indian children are either overweight or obese.
Condon says one contributing factor to higher obesity rates among Native children is a lack of access to healthy foods. And with childhood obesity occurring in younger age groups, she says that could lead to serious health problems for the population as it gets older. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
Tribes and Native organizations are concerned about the sequestration across-the-board federal budget cuts. They're expected to impact Indian Country hard. KNBA's Jocelyn Estes reports on how Native Americans may be hit by cuts to the Department of Defense.
Department of Defense cuts will lead to reduced funding for areas such as military base operations, weapons purchases, and construction. In addition to the cuts everyone will feel, Department of Defense cuts will also affect Native Americans through the Small Business Administration 8A program. Under SBA 8A, federally recognized tribes across the country, Alaska Native for-profit corporations, and Native Hawaiians are given advantage in bidding on federal contracts. Executive Director of the Native American Contractors Association, Kevin Alice, says the upcoming cuts put those contracts in jeopardy.
Many of our businesses are DOD contractors, and so when you have this broad brush to, you know, just eliminate X amount of dollars from the budget of DOD, that's going to flow down to many of these shareholders and tribal members and Native Americans not getting the resources that have flown through this program and through these companies.
In fiscal year 2011, nationwide, SBA 8A participants secured $16.7 billion in federal contracts. Reporting in Anchorage, Alaska, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
A new facility at the University of Montana will honor the late Eloise Cobell. The university announced last week the creation of the Eloise Cobell Land and Culture Institute. Cobell fought for more than a decade as lead plaintiff in the class action lawsuit Cobell versus Salazar over the federal government's mismanagement of individual Indian trust accounts. Cobell, who died in 2011 from cancer complications, was instrumental in obtaining the more than $3 billion settlement. The building will include two labs, one for the study of land and the other for studying culture. Construction is scheduled to begin this summer. The Federal Emergency Management Agency is seeking comments from tribes on the new disaster declaration process. Federally recognized tribes can now make a request directly to the president rather than going through a state. FEMA will hold tribal listening sessions this spring and will accept comments until April 22nd. During this week in 1978, Congress returned Zuni Salt Lake to the Zuni tribe in New Mexico. The salt is used as seasoning and for ceremonial purposes by the Pueblo and other tribes in the Southwest. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC-CLIC-GIVE when filing online for your PFD. When you select KNBA-FM, Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, you support National Native News. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, Juno. You are listening to KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon, and I'm Joan Pardis. As for weather, we've got rain mixing with snow for the next several days. So here we are again. We had that beautiful weather last week, and here we are back in springtime in Alaska. Will it be winter? Will it be spring? Which way will we go? And here in the studio, which we're looking for the Spring Equinox Jamboree, we're going to talk with Sarah Bowman, an adventure education specialist, and Nat Heck, the manager of the Eagle Valley Center, to talk about what's coming up this weekend. Hi, guys. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So regardless of the weather, it's the spring equinox, and you're having a jamboree. So tell us about it. It's this Saturday out at the lodge from 10 to 4?
Yep. It is a free event for all ages, families. Come on out, Amalga Harbor. There's going to be parking at the harbor itself, as well as an event shuttle to take you up to the Eagle Valley Center. It's going to be a great time, lots of events, all ages, family fun. We're going to have some indoor events, indoor cooking and arts and crafts, some outdoor events, nature hikes, tide pooling, general outdoor skills, and it's going to be a really great time, barbecue lunch, and regardless of the weather, it's going to be great, and we're going to have a good time.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. So this is a conglomeration of a lot of different partners and sponsors, and there'll be different events throughout the day?
Yes, ma'am. We have locally, we have Discovery Southeast, Juneau Watershed Development, 4-H, Jensen Olsom Arboretum, Fish and Game, as well as our lunch sponsored by Chautauquan Grumet Insurance. And Foggy Mountain is going to help us out with some skis. We still have about a foot of snow out there. It's, you know, still enough snow for some cross-country skiing. And, you know, this is the fifth year that the community has come together. A lot of different sponsors, a lot of different organizations helping out. And it's our fifth annual jamboree, and it's going to be a great time.
That sounds great. How many people showed up last time?
I mean, historically, we've had between, you know, 100 to upwards of 150 people attend the event.
That sounds quite a party. Yeah. That sounds like quite a party. So I was just out that way, too, and it's definitely winter out the road. So It's bring your hats and mittens and definitely come out and enjoy the last bit of winter here.
Yeah. I think we still have some snow caves that we dug a little while ago we can still play in.
That sounds great. And then these carnival games, can we talk a little bit about the carnival games?
Yeah, we just, in the front yard there, we do some kind of self-service carnival games. A few years ago, a game was coined. It was called Chuck the Chicken, where we have the rubber chickens that you toss into the pot across the line.
So, no chickens were actually hurt in this
experiment.
Exactly. Yeah. That sounds wonderful. And then the cross-country skiing, there'll be some instruction as well? And
yep. We'll be out there to help you out, get you outfitted with boots, and send you on your way across our lovely fields that we have. And kind of all kinds of games. In addition to the Chuck the Chicken game, we might do a human ring toss. We have tarps. You know, tarp day in elementary school was always my favorite. You know, always fun to play with those. So.
And do people have to register, or do they just come on out?
Just come on out. We'll have a registration table at the event, And we'll give you orientation and schedule events.
Sounds great. Now, also, the Eagle Valley Center Lodge, is that up for, is it possible to rent that lodge too?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we do rentals for families and also for groups that come on out. So we've had, you know, some church groups rent. We had Girl Scouts came out. Actually, why those snow caves are still there, we had a Girl Scout Winter Skills Weekend out there.
Oh, fun.
So they rented the lodge, and we did Igloo Building and Quincy Building and did a hypothermia wrap relay. So, yeah, we taught some winter skills out there.
Right. And is the rope course a permanent fixture out there?
Yeah, the ropes course is on our property as well.
Okay.
So we kind of run that in the fall and the spring.
And for the listeners and myself who are not that familiar with the ropes course, what is it?
Well, the ropes course is it's a series of challenges, and it comes from kind of like an early version of the Coast Guard on the coast of England. And where they taught young sailors kind of confidence-building skills by climbing the rigging of ships. And that ship's rigging kind of transferred onto an on-land version of, you know, challenging yourself and climbing the ship's riggings.
Wow. And now it's also team-building. Is that true? Is it an individual thing, or do people work as teams? Or
yeah, it's all cooperative-based. So, you know, people are coming up with a plan as a group, you know, practicing the skills of where, you know, you're having to compromise, you're having to, you know, having to advocate for your position on things as the group kind of moves forward through a progression of challenges.
Right, how to function as a team,
yeah.
How to make it happen. And can people just come out and do the ropes course? Could they just call you and say, oh, I want to do the ropes course, I want to bring my Girl Scout troop or my...
Of course, yeah, that's exactly what we do. And, you know, and along with the lodge and the ropes course, we also have an expedition sea kayak program and a backpacking program as well.
Mm. Let's talk about that. It's almost springtime. Let's talk about the kayak and backpack program. So the kayak program is, for a while, you had them every Friday night?
Yeah, we still do that. We do in the summertime, spring, summer, we offer a program called the Community Sunset Paddle. And we just open it up to open enrollment for the public and for people that are maybe curious about sea kayaking but don't want to go out on their own. So we will guide folks on a Friday or Saturday evening and go out for about 4 hours.
And is there an age limit to that, or not like for children?
Yeah, we say generally, you know, kind of, you know, age 12 and up for that type of thing. We have done some skill builders with younger kids where we just kind of stay very close to shore. So groups like Zach Gordon Youth Center and Big Brothers Big Sisters usually brings a group of kayakers out each spring.
Right. And is there a fee for the kayak?
Yeah, there is a fee for the kayaking, and you know, there's an individual fee, and then also there could be a group fee if it's a group that's contracting with us.
Sounds like fun. And what about the backpacking?
Yeah?
I just wanted to mention something about the kayaking real quick. You're going to hear more about this coming up, but over Memorial Day weekend, we are going to have a kayak and yoga expedition. It's going to be a 3-day, 2-night, and we're going to have a yoga instructor come out with us who happens to be my grandmother, and that's what she does for a living in Columbus, Ohio. She's a yoga instructor, and it's going to be a 2-night, 3-day event, and so keep an eye out for signs and advertisements for that.
That sounds
Memorial
great.
Day weekend.
Are you going to have a base camp, or are you going to, it's going to keep on going, it's going to be gradual?
Kind of both. We're going to spend Friday night at the EVC doing team buildings, evening yoga session, and then kayak out to an island on Saturday, spend the night, more yoga, maybe even like a sunrise yoga on the beach, and then kayak back on Sunday.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So let's go back to the backpacking program. What kind of programs do you have out there for backpackers?
Well, we partner with the state park, and we've done some hikes out at Cowie Meadows and doing some beginner backpacking trips out there. We're also a licensed outfitter on the Chilkoot Trail, so we offer a youth expedition annually out on the Chilkoot Trail as well.
Oh, interesting. So the backpack, the local backpack here in Juneau, is that like an overnight, just one overnight for people who are learning how to backpack, or
yeah,
people who want to go with a group?
Exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. same kind of thing of building the skills and learning the skills about how to backpack and how to camp and all of your bear etiquette, okay. Leave no trace etiquette, that kind of thing.
Great. Well, we'd love to have you back again to talk about the specific dates for the Chilkoot Trail and the yoga kayak expedition is Memorial Day. But this Saturday is a Spring Equinox Jamboree out at the Eagle Valley Center Lodge. It sounds like a great time. It's 10 to 4. It's free. So come on by. And how can people get in touch with you if they have specific questions?
My email is adventure@servealaska.org, and so you can either email me there or at 789 70 3-5. And we'll get you more information if you need it.
All right, but it sounds pretty simple. Come on out to Imauga Harbor, hop on a shuttle. You just register so they know you're there, and you get your little packet or your little intro about what to do, and then you go enjoy yourself.
It'll be a good time.
Great. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Up in the morning, jump out of bed, dive on into a brand new day. Kids in the kitchen, fat as a can, pancakes slipping in the frying pan. Sun's shining, morning smiling, it's time to play and play all day. Kiss goodbye and out the door, grab a great big breath of a brand new morn. Sing me a story of your life, see the colors, hear the harmony, feel the rhythm as you dance and play. Up in the morning and play all day. Wet my shoes in the morning dew. Run into the park, got lots to do. Find my friends, jump on in. Everybody's playing in the park again. Slip on the slide, fly on the swing. Climb on the monkey bars. Seesaw, 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 sing me the story of your life. See the colors, hear the harmony. Up in the morning and play all day. Tons of hot break down to the creek. Pull off our shoes and cool our feet. Build a dam and jump on in. Squeezing up mud with our toes again. Step on the rocks across the creek. Flip one over. What's that? Back home, dad's in the kitchen, mom's on the phone. Jump in the tub and goodbye mud. Run to the table, hey dad, guess what? Found a great big turtle, thought it was a rock. When I reached down to flip it, it took a little walk. Sing me a story of your life. See the color, hear the harmony, feel the rhythm as you dance and play. Up in the morning and play all day. Sun's a setting, getting sleepy, I sure did play. Played all day, found a brand new friend, and he looked like a rock. Put him under my covers in a great big box. Jump in the bed, flip out the light, little drink of water and kiss goodnight. Close my eyes and dive on in, playing all night in my dreams again. Sing me a story of your life. See the colors, hear the harmony, feel the rhythm as you dance and play. Up in the morning and play all day.
Grace that taught my heart. Judy, dear my God Judy, dear Judy, and Judy be a cross. Still all my song shall be, still all my song shall be, dear Judy,
dear my God Judy.
Oh, evangelist,
oh,
evangelist, oh, cleaving the sky,
sun, moon, and stars.
So by my words to go, so by my words to be, here to be.
Listening to Grammy Award-winning world music icons Ladysmith Black Mambazo from South Africa. They will be in Juneau on Sunday, March 17th at 3 p.m. at the Juneau Douglas High School Auditorium. Nancy, are you with us by phone?
I am here. Thank you.
Thank you. So who I am talking with by phone is Nancy DeCherney of the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and we're going to talk a little bit about Ladysmith Black Mambazo. I saw them on Broadway in their show, Song of Jacob Zulu, which won a Drama Desk Award and was nominated for 7 or 8 Tonys. It was amazing and transformative. So it was just really amazing. I'm thrilled that they're here. And I understand that Hecla and support from Hecla Charitable Foundation is the sponsor, and with support from Westmark Baranoff Hotel. Is that true, Nancy?
That's correct. That we were very pleased that the Hecla Charitable Foundation came on board to help us with this one. And, of course, the Baranoff is always helpful with things, and so they are providing. You know, this concert is at 3 in the afternoon because basically this is they fly in, they concert, and they fly out. So it's a stop-and-go kind of deal. We're very, very happy and pleased that we have them. They haven't been here since, I think, 96 was when they were here in the past. I was talking with someone who said he saw them then, and it has remained one of his favorite concerts. So I think we're in for a huge treat, all of us. It is. I will say that we're down to 4 seats at the moment, but we're getting ready to release a few seats. There's a little seating glitch at the high school. I need to make sure which seats are there, and then we'll probably add some seats as they did for the Jake Shimabukuro concert. So stay tuned. We'll probably have a few more seats this afternoon, and then I always can get people in at the door. Sometimes people just don't show up, get sick or forget or something. I don't know.
So. Oh, it's sunny.
Yeah.
So, Nancy, if people want those tickets that are available now, how do they get them?
Well, they'll have to just stay tuned. I will put something out on Facebook or something when I've figured out. I'm working with Bo over at the auditorium to figure out which seats are actually there and which seats have don't have numbers on them or something, and how many more seats he's able to put in. I don't really know. As soon as I know that, we'll put some out, and we'll start the wait list on the day of probably at 2:15. Now, the exciting news about this is, of course, that everyone in Juneau will be in the Commons at the same time because it's the first day of gold medal basketball. So plan to come down and just visit, you know.
Talk about multi-use.
That's
two
right.
Very
so,
hot events happening
yes.
at once in one place.
Yeah, Max Cash will be open. Make it a lunch date. What the heck. But we will start the wait list at the door the day of, about an hour out. So come at 2:15. We'll be ready for you and get you lined up. And like I said, I've never had a wait list situation where I haven't gotten everybody in. So
oh, that's great. And you just had a recent sellout with Jake, who was amazing. He came into the studio and he burned down the studio, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
His ukulele. I bet there was probably a surge of people who wanted to start ukulele the next day in Juneau. We should do like a study on that.
Yes. How many people? Well, you know, they have the ukulele jam over at Rockwell in the morning on Sundays, so you can get started there. But yeah, I think I was just on the Ladysmith Black Mambazo website looking, and they have been on tour all around the country and into Canada. They're coming to us from Fairbanks and Anchorage on their way out. And it's an amazing group of people, and we're amazingly lucky to have them. I'm really looking forward to the whole situation. It's so upbeat, you know?
I agree. So people who are not familiar with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, it's an a cappella male group. Their music they've been together for something like 50 years, obviously different members over the time. But their big jump onto the American music scene was with Paul Simon's album Graceland. And since then, or before then, they've worked with Stevie Wonder and Josh Groban and Dolly Parton and Ben Harper and Sarah McLachlan and Natalie Merchant and Melissa Etheridge. It just goes on and on and on. They were in Michael Jackson's Moonwalk video. They were in Spike Lee's Just Do It. They have been all over the place. I think they've done commercials as well. And their whole, I would say their whole philosophy from their website is they are singing for peace throughout the world. Is that correct, Nancy?
I think that's the way that they, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. One of the things I think that's pretty interesting about them, like you said, Paul Simon brought them in to the sort of world view with his Graceland album. They're probably, I mean, world music is kind of a thing that people think of now, but I think when these people came onto the national or into our consciousness, world music was not so well accepted. And so they can take credit for helping us expand our horizons, I guess you would say, into
yes.
all sorts of new things. So, yeah, I think, you know, we just had the gospel singers here. This is a group that bases a lot of their stuff on gospel music. It's very, very uplifting music, just perfect for spring. So,
I agree. As I said, I found it to be transformative. And one of my daughter's favorite albums is theirs, which is A Gift of the Tortoise. But they also just recently released another CD called Songs from a Zulu Farm. Plus, they also have worked for Disney, for Lion King, and Eddie Murphy's Coming to America. It's one of those things that once you hear their sound, you realize...
Oh, I know that.
Exactly. It's like you'll hear it in the background, kind of like the Hawaiian yeah. musician is, that all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's his too, and that's
yes.
his, you know.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm sitting on here looking at the ticket agent thing that we have, the electronic ticketing thing, and somebody's buying two tickets right now. So, like I said, as soon as I hear from Bo how many more seats I can put in, I will release what I can, and we'll get everybody in. It's going to be a wonderful concert. So.
Sounds great. And so also from just a little mention you made, obviously the Arts and Humanities Council has a Facebook page, and that's a good way to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. We have a Facebook profile. Let's see, a page. We have a page for the Arts Council and a page for the JAC, so you can look at us both ways.
Okay, great. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's really appreciated.
Thank you, Joan. We'll see you there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nancy. And now we're going to listen to a little more of their music.
Ooh, easy for the two.
Kakuka,
Uyaza,
Hello, Juno. This is Juno Afternoon. Thanks for listening. You're listening on KTOO. We were just listening to Ladysmith Black Mambazo. They are Grammy Award-winning world music icons, and they are coming to Juno March 17th, 3 p.m. at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. We were just talking with Nancy Ducherney from the Jack, and there might be some tickets available. So if you're interested, check out the Facebook page, give a buzz. Make sure to go see them. They are really, really terrific. And now here in the studio, I have Sarah McNair Grove from the Juno Wind Ensemble, and they are having a concert this Friday at the Jock. Welcome to the studio.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah. So tell us about a little bit about the Juno Wind Ensemble.
Okay. The Juno Wind Ensemble is a group of adult musicians that play wind instruments, which means things like flutes and clarinets and trombones and tubas and trumpets, things that you blow out of, and who want to play good music. And, we have the symphony, and that's primarily strings, and so this gives wind players an opportunity to play that kind of music.
That sounds great. And I hear there's an opportunity for us to come hear that music, and that's this Friday at 7:30 at the Jack. And what can people expect?
We have a variety of music. We are playing a malagueña, which is a Spanish dance piece, and it has a beautiful baritone euphonium solo played by Marilee Geiger in the middle of it, so you'll want to come and hear that. The main piece is a wind symphony by an American-Italian composer. It was composed in 1958, so it's relatively new in the scheme of things, and it's just a beautiful, kind of romantic-sounding music, several movements. So that's the main piece. And then we also have a march. How can you have a band concert without a march? And we are having some special guest students come and play with us from the Charter School, Harborview, and Glacier Valley, and we'll be playing a piece with some fifth and sixth graders called Glorioso.
No, that sounds great. So how does the Juno Wind Ensemble function? I know you're the president, but who picks the piece? Do you have a conductor, or do you? Is it a collaborative effort?
It's probably a collaborative effort. We beg, borrow, and steal whatever conductors we can. We don't have a permanent conductor. This concert is being conducted by Todd Hunt. He conducts us frequently. We've had Mike Busey as a conductor. Some of the high school band, Brian Van Kirk, has conducted us in the past. So whoever is available and free.
That sounds wonderful. And is it often that you work with children? That you mentioned that it was an adult group, and now you're having some child featured children musicians, which is great. But is that often? Do you do that typically?
We've been doing that the last couple of concerts. We think it's a good way to let students know that your music playing career doesn't have to end when you leave school. And so we hope that this will keep them involved.
That's great. And we were chatting before we went on air, and there seems to be 25 members of the Juno Wind Ensemble. And if you're interested, if you're possibly, you know, playing your music, your instrument at home, whatever it might be, with a wind instrument, how would people find out if maybe they could take the step to join a local group?
Okay. We have a website called Juno Community Band, and on that website there is a spot where you can fill in your interest, and it will get the contact information to us, and we will contact you then. And also the next coming up thing we have is the 4th of July with the Juno Marching Band, and we start practicing with that in June, and everybody high school age and up is welcome to come, so that's an opportunity for everybody to play.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. As for marching bands, is it hard to get members? Do people say, oh, wow, I have to, like, walk and play an instrument? Or is it just like, oh, man, this is so much fun? It looks hard. Is it as hard as it looks?
It's not really hard, but you do have to practice it. You can't just play and walk without a little bit of practice. But it is a lot of fun, and how can you have a parade without a band?
Oh, absolutely. So. No, I admire you and thank you, all of you. My nephew plays in a marching band, and he actually went to France on some marching band
high schools can have really serious competitions with marching bands.
Yeah, he's really into it, so that's great. So once again, I'm talking with Sarah McNear Grove of the Juno Wind Ensemble. There is a concert this Friday at 7:30 at the Jack, and it's Pay As You Can, and along with the usual Juno Wind Ensemble members, there will be special children musicians joining them, and they'll be from Glacier Valley, Charter, and Harborview, and they'll be playing clarinets, flute, and trumpet. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just hope you all come to the concert. We'd love to see you.
We'd love to be there. Okay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Join me, Katie B., for the next KRNN Showcase, Americana, from Nashville to Alaska, with Harrison B. and C. Scott Fry, Wednesday, March 20th, 7 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater. Advance tickets $10 at krnn.org and the station, or $12 at the door. The Musical Journey, Looking Forward and Looking Back. Live music and conversation with Harrison B. and C. Scott Fry is sponsored by Northwind Architects, Alaska Brewing Company, and ACF.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 11th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of the poet who said, "Any time not spent on love is wasted." Torquato Tasso, born in Sorrento, Italy, 1544. Handsome, popular young man from a noble family. He wrote La Gerusalemme Liberata, Jerusalem Delivered, an epic poem about the Crusades. It was very popular across Europe, even as Tasso suffered from what is now thought to be schizophrenia, traveling incognito, paranoid around Europe, still writing love sonnets, plays, epic religious poems. The Pope proclaimed him poet laureate, but Tasso died just days before he was to be crowned in Rome. It was on this day, 1818, Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein was published. 2 years before, she had spent the summer in a cabin on Lake Geneva with her lover, Percy Shelley, her sister Claire, and Claire's lover, Lord Byron. It rained a lot, and one night Byron suggested that they all write ghost stories. And Mary imagined the hideous phantasm of a man stretched out and then, on the working of some powerful engine, show signs of life and stir with an uneasy half-vital motion, she wrote. So she set to work on it, Frankenstein. It's the birthday of Douglas Adams, born Cambridge, England, 1952. He was unemployed, depressed, living with his mother, when he remembered a night years before in Austria, when he was a teenager traveling around Europe with his guidebook, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Europe. And that night he lay in a field, drunk, looking up at the stars, and thought someone should write a travel guide to the galaxy. So years later he did. It became a radio play in 1978, and then a series of very successful novels, starting with The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. It's the birthday of the children's book author and illustrator Ezra Jack Keats, Brooklyn, 1916. He was the son of impoverished Jewish immigrants from Warsaw, wanted to be an artist, which worried his family. Couldn't afford to go to art school, got a job painting murals for the Works Progress Administration, another job designing army camouflage in World War II, and started writing children's books. The Snowy Day was his first, done all in collage, about a young black boy named Peter playing in his neighborhood after a new snowfall, one of the first children's books to feature a black character. Here's a poem for today by Maxine Kuhlman, entitled Spring Training, for Victor. Some things never change, the velvet flock of the turf, the baseline smoothed to suede, the ancient smell of peanuts, the harsh smack the ball makes burrowing into the catcher's mitt. Here in the grapefruit league's trellised shade, you catch pie trainers lofting right field foul all over again. You're 10 in Fenway Park and wait past supper time for him to autograph it, then race for home all goosebumps in the dark to roll the keepsake ball in paraffin. Soften your second-hand glove with neat's foot oil and wrap your Louisville slugger with friction tape. The Texas Leaguers, whatever league you're in, still tantalize the way they waver and drop. Carl Hubbell's magical screwball is still, give or take, 60 years unhittable. Sunset comes late, but comes inexorable. What lingers is the slender hook of hope. Spring Training, a poem by Maxine Kuhlman from her collection Connecting the Dots, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Reputation.com, helping individuals and businesses make their best impression where people learn about them first, on the Internet. Learn more at Reputation.com. Produced by Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your Monday host, Joan Pardis. It's always nice to listen to Garrison Keillor, and we have a local storyteller here in the studio with us today, Joe Carson. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Joe is
a writer. He's got this book that I'm looking at right here called Dining with Hitler and Hemingway. It's a collection of short stories. And Joe will be doing readings of his work this Wednesday at the Nickelodeon. It's a launch of his new website. So let's talk about this website.
Yeah, sure. It's being put together right now as we speak. And I'll be offering some of my older stuff like the Dining short story collection and a new short story collection called 17 Unicorns, which will be available only on the Internet. And there's going to be a couple novels on there, some plays, and a lot of other stuff. But I'm going to always try to keep something on there just for free that you can read to kind of try to maybe hook you into to buying some of the other stuff. And you can get there just by going to joecarson.com. That's K-A-R-S-O-N. And you have to do it Internet style, no space. Just Joe, K-A-R-S-O-N. .com. thanks to the internet, I now actually own my own name. Finally.
That's good.
By my name, but I've got it.
Okay. So this Wednesday at the Nickelodeon,
yes,
and it's at 7 o'clock, you're going to be doing a reading. So it's kind of like a website launch.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. That's why I wanted to do this, let people know that I was starting this website. And it's going to be short and sweet. I'm going to do about 3 stories, and I'm going to have Sammy Burroughs, Juno's premier blues guitarist, is going to help me with the short story at the end. We're going to do a little combined spoken word and music thing. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And if you were going to pick a genre, if you were going to label yourself, what kind of genre interests you most as a writer? What is your writing like?
I've done a lot of writing. I've worked as a journalist, and mostly what interests me is short fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And although I do have some longer pieces, which I will also have on my website, but the short story is my main medium. That's what I like.
I like the fact that you said you were a journalist and you like short fiction, which is good.
Well, yeah.
After all that, who, what, where, when, and why.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's a fine line.
And where, as a journalist, where did you work? Were you up in...
I've worked for various little tabloids around the state,
mm-hmm,
and a few other national magazines, but nothing terribly of note.
No, I think they're all of note. It wasn't.
Yes, well, you.
Right.
But mostly it's the fiction I'm interested in. Yes.
That's great. And so you were living in Juneau for several decades back, and then you were up in Fairbanks, and then you moved back.
I lived here back in the 70s. I moved to Fairbanks around 1979, and then about 5 years ago, I came to my senses and moved back to Juneau. And for good, you're stuck with me this time.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So do you think you want to read one of your stories? Is this, if you're going to read, is it going to be one of the stories that
This is actually a new unpublished story. I think I can maybe get it out in about 4 minutes. If we got time, I'll launch right into it, I guess.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. This is called Work. Go ahead, Tony. Take my table. I've been doing pretty good tonight. Huh. No way, says Tony. You think I didn't see those spots? Damn. Okay, it's profiling, but Dalmatians are loud and ill-mannered, always. And bad tippers, almost as bad as dachshunds. They're the worst. Tony shakes his head. Looks like she's got an attitude, too. Hey, you come in here expecting bad service, and that's what you're going to get. The public can't seem to understand that. Why should I knock myself out when the customer is just going to complain about everything anyway? Cut your losses and move on. That's my motto. I'm not doing a tap dance for some token $5 tip when the maitre d' has a golden retriever straining at the leash. I've been working at Welcome Wagon, we must wiggle a finger at our customers whenever we mention the name, for 6 months, but I know the ropes. Since there are currently just 2 dog restaurants in the world, this one here in New York and another in Tokyo, I'm a genuine expert at serving dogs. I suppose there is no need to bother telling you that I'm also an aspiring artist. Is there any other breed of humanity that ends up waiting tables in a canine cafe? There seems to be a rule requiring a person to undergo a period of humiliation before emerging as a successful artist. If there is any justice in this world, I should be the next Picasso. The owner of Welcome Wagon is Miss Margaret. That is the only name we know her by. She is a stately, middle-aged woman who seems to have stepped right out of some Victorian novel. The prim and lacy spinster aunt. I suspect that her Oxford accent is an affectation, but this makes little difference since her conversation is reserved almost exclusively for dogs. I'm sure they don't care. Not as long as they get their liver pate and filet mignons. I've suggested to Miss Margaret that I use my talents as a draftsman to draw caricatures of our regular customers. We could hang the pictures on the wall like they do in people restaurants throughout the city. Most of the dog owners, you'll have to excuse me, owner, master, handler, etc., are actually words that Miss Margaret forbids us to use. But the owners who come here are wealthy, so besides being fun, this little project might provide me with contacts useful to my art career. Miss Margaret hates the idea. She will not have her establishment associated with the bistros and delis that cater to degenerate showbiz types and tourists and other riffraff. I suppose she's right. one thing tends to lead to another, and before long we'd have huskies and bird dogs in here sniffing at poodles and Pomeranians. There you go, John. Tony is shaking his head again. Yeah, I heard the accent, I tell him. I've seen this pair before. The owner, bite my tongue, could be the villain in a grade B Nazi flick. All he needs is a monocle and riding crop. His wiener dog will probably have me running for the pooper scooper before I can even bring them a menu, just to show me who's boss. The last time they were here, they sent back the schnitzel three times. When I suggested crepe Suzette's for dessert, I nearly got my hand and my head bitten off. Something wrong with German chocolate cake or a nice strudel, eh? Looks like it's going to be one of those nights. Martha and I wolf down our morning coffee and bagels. We are both anxious to get to work. Our real work. How'd it go last night at the Beagle Beanery, asks Martha. Rough one. Dalmatians and dachshunds. They run you raggedy and you can't beat a decent tip out of them. Yeah, me too. Must be a full moon or something. Every kind of freak you can imagine and a few that haven't even been classified yet. Martha enjoys her phone sex gig about as much as I enjoy being a doggy waiter. But with the two incomes, we can afford this nice, spacious loft. Soon we'll both be lost in our work. We'll forget for a while what's facing us tonight. I pick up my coffee mug and head for the easel. Martha sits down at her potter's wheel.
That is lovely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for reading that. That is lovely. I loved your dialogue.
Well, I kind of hurried it, but I wanted to get in here. But
I appreciate it. So that is Joe Carson reading one of his short stories. He is going to have a website launch at the Nickelodeon this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and come and hear more of his stories. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hello. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder. Please join me this coming Monday at 7 p.m. for Mind Over Matter. A special guest and I will have a conversation about the challenges and joys of living life fully and of living a life with meaning. So tune in to KTOO this Monday at 7 p.m.
This is Bird Note. Denver Holt, founder and president of the Owl Research Institute in western Montana, reflects on more than 30 years of field work with the birds he admires.
You know, I think when I initially started out, it was all about science, you know, and getting your papers out there so that research managers and conservationists, it was available to them to make the decision they needed to make. And then as you progress and get a little older, you realize, it's not just really about science, it's about people. And so we try to get our publications, our information out to the public as well. Because in the end, it's, you know, the public who votes. It's the public who want interest in conservation. And the other thing with owls, because they're so high profile and because they're so admired by so many people, and you can get people to, you know, to protect owls, to, you know, to vie for conservation of owls, to say, yeah, let's protect that habitat because it's really important to these species of owls.
To learn about opportunities to participate in the work of the Owl Research Institute, begin at birdnote.org. And by the way, that's Denver making the calls of boreal and eastern screech owls.
Juno, you are listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We just listened to a story by Joe Carson. If you like storytelling, you might want to check out Mud Rooms tomorrow night at McPheeters Hall. Actually, I think it's at the church there. And you'll get more details tomorrow about this monthly event on Juno Afternoon. Also on Juno Afternoon tomorrow, we could talk with Dr. Elaine Schroeder, who was just talking about her show tonight. She's also doing an upcoming bereavement group. Also, Mary Joyce was recently inducted into the Alaskan Women's Hall of Fame. We're going to learn more about Mary Joyce, who was a woman who lived out at the Taku Lodge by the Taku Glacier and was the first one to actually take a dog sled from Juneau to Fairbanks in the 1930s. She was an amazing woman. We'll also be talking about AmeriCorps Week and upcoming high school track and field. That's all tomorrow on Juneau Afternoon. Also, coming up at the KTOO, it's spring cleaning time. Time to get rid of those records you've been hoarding, the CDs you've downloaded, and those videos you already know the endings of. Bring them to KTOO for the used media sale. That's scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd from 9 to noon. For more information, give Jeff a call at 463-6425. That's Jeff Brown, who's here in the studio running the board with me. Thank you, Jeff, for all your work, making me look good. If I look good, it's because of Jeff. Speaking of looking good on Juno Afternoon, Juno Afternoon is looking for some volunteer hosts. I said last week, if I could do it, you could do it, and I mean that sincerely. So if you have an inclination to do something like this, please give the studio a call. As far as weather, looks like we're going to have some snow. Looks like the snow level is going to rise to around 500 feet today, and there might be some snow, not much accumulation, but snow and rain for the next couple of days. So it was a really interesting show today. I enjoyed it. I really am excited about Ladysmith Black Mambazo coming to Juneau. If you have the opportunity to see that show, I highly recommend that. That's March 17th at 3 o'clock. We're going to end the show with some of their one more song. So thanks for listening.
Amakusagita wazulu apina
amakusagiti
apina
amakusagita wazulu asasi mazulu
apina
amakusagiti Amakosa yecha wazulu, asazi mazulu.
Nonyaga
gasazi sole matina. Nonyaga gasazi sole matina. Nonyaga gasazi sole matina. Asazi mazulu. Nonyaga gasazi sole matina. Nonyaga gasazi sole matina. Nonyaga gasazi sole matina. Asazi mazulu.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Off Bay area, tune to K276 AF 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. An excursion inlet in Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org.
Each cardinal has a ballot in front of him. It's a very small piece of paper. At the top of it says, you know, I vote for.
Cardinals prepare to elect a new pope. It's Monday, March 11th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish. Coming up, the history and ritual behind the Roman Catholic conclave. Later, Los Angeles and the legacy of pollution from Owens Valley. Also, what researchers learned from studying the arteries of ancient mummies.
Well, we found that heart disease is a mysterious killer that's been stalking mankind for over 4,000 years.
And a new TV archetype on the small screen, call her the hummingbird.
These are characters who are very tightly wound, highly ambitious, anxiety-provoking for the people around them and also for the audience watching the television show.
But first news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A federal jury has found Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick